Welcome to Your Aged Care Compass podcast. Join us to find out how to support your older loved ones at home. We're going to help you make sense of Australia's aged care system. We talk about legal and financial considerations for aging and how chronic health conditions impact your older loved ones' well-being. And we share real life stories of where it went wrong for people and how we got them back on track.
Hello and welcome to today's episode. I'm Coral Wilkinson, your host, and today I'm joined by Philippa O'Donnell. Philippa previously worked for the ABC as a crime reporter in Melbourne at the time of the gangland wars. Gangsters were shooting each other on the streets every second day, causing huge community concern, and there were endless stories for a keen young reporter, Philippa says. She went to work all around Australia with Auntie, including leading major broadcast projects and disaster coverage in several states. Since taking early retirement from the ABC, Philippa has been working in the not-for-profit sector. She currently works with the Aged Care Volunteer Visitors Scheme. Philippa describes this program as the most positive program, providing better health outcomes, longer lives, and essential engagement for clients and visitors. The program provides visitors for older Australians wherever they live, in residential care, with friends or relatives, or in their own homes. These visitors spend an hour a week with their person purely for engagement, doing hobbies, reminiscing, chatting, maybe watching movies, or just listening while having a cuppa. This federally funded scheme has been going for 30 years. FNQ Volunteers has been delivering it for almost 2 years, and they have more than 100 ongoing matches already in far north Queensland. Philippa, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Coral.
Tell us about the Aged Care Volunteer Visitor Scheme.
It seriously is, as you just mentioned, the most positive program in the world. I've worked for lots of different community organisations delivering programs, and this one is way up there on the positive scale. So it's funded by the federal government, and we'll go into that a little more later, but it provides volunteer visitors for people wherever they live, that is in residential aged care places or in their own homes, wherever they are. It's a national program. It's been going actually for about 36 years in various guises. People might know it from the old name, the Community Visitor Scheme, but the federal government is really serious about making sure they improve the outcomes for older Australians, and they're concentrating on this program as a way to do it. And the fact that it's purely for engagement, it's not to get up and clean their gutters or sweep their floors or take them shopping, or it's that essential engagement that older people lose as they leave the workforce, stop playing sport, the kids move away, the grandchildren leave home. All those things mean that their circles shrink to the point where many of them don't just have social engagement at any level. So my colleague and I say that we've become expert matchmakers in matching the visitors with the clients on geographical closeness or proximity, on cultural background, language, interests, and preferences. So our clients and the visitors get to say whether they want to see a man or a woman, whether they want to go into a residential aged care or somebody's home. And it is the preferences that we find most essential in making these matches. So there's no good if you tell us that your mum wants a male visitor aged between 60 and 70 and we send along a student female who's aged between 20 and 30. That's never going to work. So we're very careful about, and The ACFAS program is national, so we have colleagues all around Australia who are putting the same attention on making these matches so that they do last. And our visitors commit to providing 1 hour a week with the same person, roughly the same time. We understand that people work and sometimes things come up and they can't make the exact time, but 1 hour a week for the same person, roughly the same time. And we get them to commit for 6 months initially. Okay. We haven't yet had anybody say at the end of 6 months, oh, I don't want to do it anymore. But circumstances change, people decide to go travelling, whatever. That's both sides, clients and visitors. So the program does evolve and have a natural attrition process, but most of our matches really want to continue beyond the 6 months. So that's great.
It's amazing. So you've touched on how it works, but if a person was listening in today and thought, oh, gosh, I know a person or a couple of people who might benefit from this, how would that work? How does that start?
So the federal government, the health department, has a check your interest form on their site. So somebody just needs to put aged care volunteer visitor into their search engine. That will take them to the health department's form where they nominate whether they're interested in being a volunteer visitor or they want a volunteer visitor, and just very brief details. Then we have state coordinators in each state who look at that list and distribute any interest to the local organisation. So, for instance, if somebody from Trinity Beach thinks they want to be a visitor, they go on to their, put in their details, and the state coordinator sends their details through to us. Then we follow up with them, whether it be a volunteer visitor or wanting a volunteer visitor. We would prefer that they go to, in far north Queensland, that they go to FNQ Volunteers site and put their interest in, and then that comes straight to us. So it doesn't, they don't have to go through the national scheme. But for anywhere else in Australia, because we can't obviously list every local organisation, there's about 300 of them around Australia providing this service. So they need to go to the national site and just put in, and it is really brief details, and that will be fed through to the local one wherever they live or they're the person wanting the visitor lives.
Okay. And who funds this scheme? We said it's the federal government, but
it is part of the health department budget. Yeah. And I just checked on some figures. So the health department in the latest budget has put $37 million per year into this scheme for 5 years. So you understand if people have had anything to do with federal government funding, to fund a program over 5 years is a very serious commitment. Mm. Often they're funded maybe for 6 months or 12 months, 3 years sometimes, but over 5 years to guarantee funding is a very serious commitment. So that's great. Budget, I think, was about $700 something billion, and this program has got a large slice of that.
That's wonderful news and awesome that the government is investing in such a worthwhile program.
So, and it is so worthwhile, not only for the people having visitors, but for the visitors themselves. Mm. They constantly tell us that they think they get more out of it than the people that they visit. Mm. And some of them, far north Queensland, for instance, is a very transient population. People come here for work for short periods and move on. And it takes time and effort to find your tribe in any new place. So this gives them something to look forward to, gives them connection. They learn about the history of the area. They tell stories. They share their lives. all different sorts of things. Plus, they pick up new skills. We had one fellow come to us and say that he wanted to speak Italian with his visitor. He was from Italy initially, speaks English perfectly, and wanted just to keep the practice of Italian up. So we didn't actually have any Italian-speaking volunteers at the time, so we put the call out and we matched him with a younger woman who wanted to learn Italian. So she'd started lessons and right. She tells us that her Italian speech has come ahead in leaps and bounds since she's had this weekly 1 hour where she gets to practice Italian.
That's fantastic.
You know, that's servicing both sides, and he's happy as because he gets to speak in Italian, but he also feels good because he's passing on a really vital skill to a younger person.
Someone else, yeah. And I know you have. I remember when we talked previously, there were a couple of other stories that I just love so much. So I'm going to ask you to describe one of those other stories now about the lady who published a book.
Yes. So we had a client come and say he had published 14 books, so he needed a visitor who was interested in writing. Wasn't necessarily an author, hadn't necessarily published anything, but they needed to be interested in writing because that was the major factor of his life. So we found a woman and she'd travel for an hour each way to see this fellow once a week. And over 9 months, he got her to the stage where she was about to publish her first novel. She told me it was purely due to his mentorship. And that was so exciting for both of them. Again, he felt very special because he passed on skills and experience. But she said that she got so much out of her weekly sessions with him, and there wasn't anywhere else in her hometown that she could have availed herself of that sort of experience. So, but that's just sidelines to the main focus of what we're doing. And we love sharing these stories. Sometimes it might just be helping a person sort out that infernal craft drawer or sort their books or plant a few plants with them in the garden or something like that, something everyday type thing. I've just mentioned two of the big stories, but every day there are little things that make massive differences. Lots of people come to us and say that they love being in gardens, but they can no longer bend down to plant things. We say to them, so our visitors don't necessarily do the garden for you, but they can do the garden with you. So you can sit on your walker and say, I want that hydrangea over there. If you can just dig a hole and put it there, that's perfect. And that gardening, surprisingly, is one of the major things that people ask for.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
And that doesn't matter whether they're in residential aged care or in their own homes. If we have one residential aged care place here where there was a gardening group of three people and their visitor worked with them to replace all the plants in hanging pots all around. So they desperately wanted to continue some association with the garden, even though they were in a residential aged care place. And this was the way that we came up to do that. So
amazing.
You know, lovely stories.
Yeah, and wonderful stories.
You can imagine how positive this makes me feel hearing these stories every day and spreading the joy.
Spreading the joy. Yeah. Philippa, is the scheme free to recipients or participants?
That's the best part about it, Coral. Totally free because it's funded by the federal government, as we mentioned. And there are at least two people working on the aged care volunteer visitor scheme in each of those 300 centres. So our model is, up until recently, we had a staff member looking after the volunteers and one staff member looking after the clients, and then we'd have a weekly matching meeting where we bring them together. And in order to do that, one staff member constantly does the rounds to residential aged care places and to home package providers and talks to their staff about the program, as well as tapping into community groups and men's sheds and all those places, local hospital services, pharmacies, all those places where older people and volunteers might frequent so that we can keep our numbers up. In Far North Queensland, we've made 138 matches in the last 12 months.
Wow.
And due to natural attrition, we're at a pretty constant 110 going forward, but we're looking to expand the program. And I think most places where it's provided are looking to expand the program, because with an ageing population, obviously, the need grows all the time.
Absolutely.
And we haven't actually found a massive downturn in volunteer numbers. So that's partly due to the work that we do, like this podcast, for instance, to just inform the community about it. Partly due to the fact that we have one staff member purely looking after volunteers and generating leads in that way. But it is just so positive. I know I said that earlier, but it's just fantastic. So there are about, I think, 12,000 ongoing matches around Australia at the moment, and that will grow substantially in the next 12 months, I think.
Great.
So we've just come to the end of the last three-year funding round, and now we're just starting on the five-year funding round. And
wow.
I think that deliberately giving people the opportunity to go for more places and make more matches in their communities. And I'm sure it will spread to more than the 300 communities that it's already in.
Excellent. That's so good to hear. So who is eligible for the program, Philippa?
Anybody on a home care package, mm-hmm. living in their own home or living with family but living in a private dwelling.
Yep.
And anybody in residential aged care. And that's one thing, Coral. A few people have said to me, oh, but there's lots of people in residential aged care. Why do they need visitors?
Mm.
It's all about the one-on-one attention and concentrating just on this person. I was at one of our residential aged care places yesterday, and the lifestyle coordinator, I don't know if you know lifestyle coordinators in any residential aged care places, but they're just marvellous what they do with their residents. And the ACFAS program is normally operated in conjunction with the lifestyle coordinators. Their best place to put in applications and liaise with us.
Mm-hmm.
But the lifestyle coordinator at this place said to me, oh, have you found a visitor for Pam yet? She asks me every day, have they found me a new visitor yet? They found me a new visitor. And she explained to me that prior to that, this woman had been allocated a wonderful visitor who unfortunately had a family illness, so had to give up visiting. But she said every week Pam would tell any staff member who came nearer, my visitor's coming on Wednesday. I'm having a visitor on Wednesday.
Wow.
And it just breaks your heart to think that we had to stop that while we find a new visitor how keen she is to keep it going. And they also asked me at this place if I could find a Spanish-speaking visitor. And we have had, as I mentioned, the Italian-speaking one, but we've had success in the past with a woman came to us and said she needed a visitor who could speak Russian, but they couldn't be from Russia because she was from the Ukraine. So we put it out to the community and we ended up with three people volunteering to visit her. They were Russian speakers, but they weren't from Russia. So I said to the Iraq person yesterday, the lifestyle coordinator, this is the challenge that we love. You've got a Spanish-speaking need. We're on our way to find that. And the communities are fantastic. They answer any of these needs. Everybody has an affinity with older Australians and what they go through as they age, and many people want to help them. So I have no doubt that we'll find a Spanish speaker to visit this woman.
I have no doubt that you will achieve that as well, Philippa.
Community pharmacies keep Australia healthy. With 6,000 locations nationwide, they're open early, late, and longer for convenient, accessible, and safe care. Pharmacists provide home medicine reviews, dose administration aids, and essential vaccinations. Thanks to additional training, many can now treat common conditions like ear infections, wounds, and skin issues. They also support management of chronic conditions in partnership with your healthcare team. Ask your pharmacist how they can help you and your family stay well.
Hey, I just wanted to touch on the eligibility with regards to home care packages. So if a person receives a home care package, they are eligible for this scheme. And as we've said before, it's free. So no, there's no payment from your home care package. But it's, correct me if I'm wrong, but it is also people who have been approved for a home care package and are waiting in the queue or the national priority system. So yes, I can see listeners, Philippa is nodding her head here. So just to clarify, you or your older loved one doesn't have to wait until they're actually receiving that home care package. If they've had their comprehensive assessment and have been approved for a home care package, but you know, we know that takes months to be assigned at this point in time, those people are eligible to receive a visitor as well, which is wonderful. Now, Philippa, do the volunteers receive training?
They do receive training. At this stage, it's just working through a workbook, and it takes maybe 2 hours where we explain the program, what they can do and can't do, responsibilities. They do need to have a police check, not a yellow card or a blue card or that level of checking, but they do need to have a police check. And many of our visitors, particularly those who work full-time, already have a police check, so that's fine. But if they don't have a police check, we pay for that for them, so there's no cost involved in that. There's basic training, but the most important thing is the ongoing support. So if they have the slightest query or concern or question, we're on tap 24/7 to work with them on that sort of thing. One of the most important times is for people who are visiting dementia patients and the dementia progresses. So we work with them to understand that process and to make sure that they're happy to continue as engagement can diminish or sometimes it stops altogether. So between the lifestyle coordinator or family members, the volunteer and us, we all sort of help manage that process and any other process. People report their visits to us as soon as possible after each visit because that's crucial. That's what our funding is based on. But they also give us comments. Oh, Julie slept most of the time I was there today. Or It was fantastic. We went for a walk. Bill wanted me to take him to the pub, but of course I can't do that. Or, you know, just little things like that. So that gives me a good chance to mention that the only few things that they're not allowed to do with people that they visit is take them to licensed or gambling premises.
Right.
They're not allowed to have anything to do with their finances, as in they can't even pay their bills for them, and they're not allowed to have anything to do with dispensing medication. But other than that, it's free for all, wide open, and fabulous to be involved with.
Philippa, do you have some numbers on what the breakdown is? Certainly in our location, but I don't know, maybe you have broader numbers. The people who are living in residential care compared to the people who are still living at home, what's the ratio of those people receiving a volunteer?
So we found that in FNQ, it's about 60-40 in favour of residential aged care. And I think those figures would be reflected around the country, but I don't actually have those figures. And I did find it really difficult to get any figures at all on ACFAS overall around Australia. In the end, I was almost ready to go to the minister's office because nobody within the program could actually give me the figures that I needed, but we found another way, but I can't say for broadly. And that seems to have changed because in the first place, we were funded 3 years ago for 64 home care package people and 46 in residential aged care. And that was obviously based on what the need was thought to be at that time, 3 years ago. We've since found out that the numbers in residential aged care are much greater. So those figures just flipped for here. I really don't know about wider.
I'm not surprised. I would have guessed that there would be more people living in residential care who would be wanting a visitor than people living in their own home who perhaps have services coming in with their home care package. So not at all surprised. And I actually wouldn't be surprised if that figure changes and more people in residential care will be seeking a visitor as well. So we spoke previously about what happens when a volunteer has to go on leave and they're not able to visit their person, and sometimes I can imagine that really bothers them. How have the volunteers that you work with, how have they managed this?
I'm really proud of this. We developed a flying squad, which is made up of volunteers who can't commit to 6 months of weekly visits, but can do spasmodic visits in 2 months, 3 months, lots or whatever.
Yeah.
So when somebody comes to say they're going around Australia for 3 months and they're really concerned, they don't want to leave their person without a visitor, we go to our flying squad and say, can somebody fill in here for this amount of time? And we introduce them to the current visitor and the client before the current visitor leaves. And they fill in, and then it reverts to normal once the current visitor gets back. In some cases, the flying squad hasn't been able to meet the need for whatever reason. So people have undertaken to ring or write letters from each place that they go to. And that's fantastic because it transports the client from their own home or their residential aged care place to places all around the country, which is fantastic. And they react really well to that, to people describing what they see in the main street of Balranald, for instance, or any other thing. And the other time when visitors make special provisions is if their client happens to go into hospital or go somewhere else for a certain point, might be respite in an aged care place or something, and then the visitor will undertake to continue visiting them in changed circumstances.
Right.
So all of our visitors, well, the vast majority become firm friends, and some of them do more than 1 hour a week weekly visit, but that's outside of the program. We only require 1 hour a week. Occasionally, for people who might have disabilities or whatever in aged care places, they can't concentrate for an hour and it becomes onerous to have an hour's visit once a week, but they still want to maintain the connection, so we cut their visits down to half an hour or whatever suits them so that they've still got something to look forward to and the person might go and see somebody else in that place for the other half hour of their visit. So there aren't circumstances that we've been presented with yet that we haven't been able to come up with suitable solutions for, but I'm sure that'll come at some stage.
Well, my next question is, if there wasn't a local office in a particular location and someone saw a need or could benefit from a visitor, could this scheme be supported via a telehealth model? Is that possible?
Absolutely. And there are a number of ACFIS providers around the country that already do telehealth models. And we are encouraged by the scheme coordinators to do that so that we can spread our reach. We're flat strapped here in FNQ, meeting the needs of volunteers and clients meeting physically at the moment. But there is increasing pressure to provide more visit engagement in far-flung places for us and for all ACFIS providers. So the phone model or online model is something that we're all going to have to address in the coming 12 months. But at the moment, we're fully committed to providing face-to-face visits, aside from the people who are travelling and decide to make phone calls or write letters or whatever. But definitely looking into that and how we go about it. We do face the problems of older people not being as conversant with modern technology, not necessarily having iPads or suitable computers and all of those intricacies that mean that it's more difficult for them to have online meetings.
Mm.
But I mentioned we haven't struck a problem yet that we haven't been able to solve. So we will work through that. But telehealth models certainly on the agenda, and the program coordinators nationally and statewide encourage us to investigate that path.
Mm.
And that's worth mentioning. We already have volunteers and clients on the Tablelands, which for people who don't know, FNQ is like an hour's drive up a very steep hill, so that it's not necessarily ideal for people from Cairns to travel there to fulfil their obligations. And that will grow, particularly in this coming 12 months, where we expect to be able to fill maybe another 100 matches in this area. But that will mean forming local partnerships with people up on community groups up on the Tablelands and to better service that area without visitors having to travel vast distances or spend a long time getting to their client.
Yeah.
And ACFIS groups all around Australia will be doing the same sort of thing, looking to spread the reach of their program so that we can better service more communities.
It's just fantastic. It's just such an amazing program. Why do you think that the aged care volunteer visitor scheme is so important?
Oh, from my viewpoint, it absolutely provides longer, more healthier lives for older people. That's the basic tenet. If we can provide engagement that keeps them out of hospital for a couple more years or re-engage them with the community that they've loved and worked in all their life, that's just a marvellous thing. But the fact that it's so important to the visitors as well, I think is based on the fact that it's coming for all of us.
Yes.
Or we've all had personal experience with parents, friends, relatives going through this ageing process, seeing how their circles shrink.
Yes.
And thinking, what can we do to help that process or to improve the process of ageing for those people? But it's all about those community connections that...
It absolutely is, yes.
Break down.
So important, and yeah.
We know the reasons that they break down, and whoever came up with this concept I think is just brilliant, and I have no idea who sat down 30 years ago and thought, we're going to help people age better. But, you know, from your podcasts, we hear those sorts of developments every week. So this is just another one. I am, and I probably shouldn't say this, but I am concerned that it's a national program, but so many people don't know about it. When I started moving into the community with FNQ volunteers explaining this program to people, providers like aged care home package providers or residential aged care providers said, why haven't we heard about this before? I've been in this industry for 40 years and I've never heard about this, so, which is great for me. It makes my numbers look really good, but it is a concern that it's been going for 36 years and so many people don't know about it. And you've worked in this area for a long time, and prior to connecting with FNQ volunteers, you didn't necessarily know about it either.
No, that's right. I certainly didn't know as much as I have learnt today. And like you said, I've worked in health and aged care for decades. And I think I'm pretty astute. I like to think that I keep my finger on the pulse and know what's going on around town and elsewhere, but certainly did not have much of an awareness of this. So let's hope after today, some more people will become aware of it. And certainly GPs, general practitioners, pharmacists. Just last week, I was speaking with Carly Thompson of 777 Pharmacies and Catherine Ewan of home care provider DaVita, and their social prescribing that they are doing. And I have no doubt Catherine tunes into these episodes every week. So I think by coming onto the show, talking about this, highlighting what a wonderful program it is, I hope that there's going to be greater uptake everywhere, Philippa, because I know just the stories that you've told me, this is undoubtedly an exceptional program.
It is, and I think we need to give kudos to the federal government for continuing the funding and making such a serious commitment. It's up to us ACFAS providers all around the country to make sure that we fulfil the need and work hard to make sure that those matches are as good as can possibly be. This morning, for instance, I made one match where a fellow is in his own home. He has a few mobility problems, but he just loves music. And I had a young Red Cross worker come in and offered to volunteer. And I said, would you like to see this bloke? He loves music. And the Red Cross fellow said to me, I love talking music. It's one of my passions. And I thought, you know, a manner from heaven that...
Imagine heaven.
It just happens. So
yes, that's magic.
Yeah, that's lovely. And it's really nice to be able to make those matches and know that you're improving lives. And long may it continue. Well, it's guaranteed for the next 5 years, thanks to the federal government. But I'm sure there are communities all around Australia that would like to have this program close by. And I would urge them to seek out the process to establishing the aged care volunteer visitor program in their community. So I know I grew up in regional Victoria up on the Murray, and there was nothing like this as my mum got older, but it broke my heart to see that her circle shrank to the point where, aside from her kids, she literally didn't have any visitors in her home, and this would have been ideal, but there was nothing and still is nothing like this in those so many communities. So we'll see.
We'll see. Look, Philippa, this has been a fabulous discussion. The Aged Care Volunteer Visitor Scheme has an important role in keeping our older loved ones connected to their community. If you're listening in today and think you'd like to become a volunteer, or maybe you know of someone who would benefit from having a visitor, we've included the links in the show notes so that you can take the next step. Philippa, thank you for joining me today, and thank you for the meaningful work that you're doing to make a difference in the lives of our older loved ones.
Thanks very much, Coral, and I think the work that you're doing is really important too.
Thank you.
Hey, care community, thanks for listening to this episode. So you never miss a show, make sure you subscribe to our podcast. If you'd like to know more about what we do, head to our website, seemeacn.com.au.